Hi, this is Jeff with the SBCA podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or would like more information about the podcast, please contact us at sbcapod@gmail.com. That's sbcapod@gmail.com. Let's get to the show. I'm your host, Jeff, and this podcast is designed especially for you, SBCA camp and conference leaders, directors, staff, volunteers, anybody who's involved in the SBCA world. That's the Southern Baptist Camping and Conference Center Association, and we are here in this podcast to deliver valuable content, news, updates, helpful, meaningful information to you so that you can strengthen and encourage your ministry, your staff, volunteers, anybody that's involved. Content, connection, and camps. That's what we're about here. This podcast is designed to be a type of conference on wheels where the valuable information that's shared at the SBCA conference is brought to all members of the SBCA in a way that you can access it on your schedule with your staff members who couldn't attend the conference for whatever reason. Doesn't mean that we'll only do the same programming that's seen at the conference, but it does mean that it's going to be the same caliber and quality and variety of content, but just given to you all year long in a twice a month format. We don't want this to be an excuse to not come to the conference because, honestly, listen, this is nowhere near as valuable as being in person with your brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the trenches with you across the world, serving in camps. There's no way to replicate that. But what we hope to do is to give you a resource that you can take some of that information, you can take other information that we're able to provide and use it to strengthen your ministry, to enhance and encourage your staff where you are so that we can be an encouragement and a partner together throughout the SBCA. So check us out. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's get on with the show. And we are here with Jeremy Jackson. And let me tell you, Jeremy has started out in the camping world as far back as being a camper in the most pure sense of the word to being a camp staff in multiple positions and now and as an executive coach focused on camp ministries with a ministry called 4camps.org. That's forcamps.org. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Absolutely, Jeff. It's good to be with you.
Man, I am excited. I had a great opportunity to sit into actually a couple of your seminars. I was so impressed with the first one, I wanted to go back to the second one. I'd actually planned to go to another one and ended up missing one that I had planned to because, man, what valuable information you shared to us at the SBCA conference this year in Acadian Baptist Center. If you're listening and you didn't get a chance to go to the SBCA conference, you're missing out on a blessing. And I really hope that you'll make plans to go to our conference next year in Caraway. It's going to be a great, great time. I know Jimmy and his staff there are planning some great things for us. James down at Acadian had a great conference for us down there. It was a great blessing. But, man, what an opportunity it was to hear from people like Jeremy giving some valuable information. And, Jeremy, the topic that we're going to be talking about today is this lingering leadership model. And I had a director in my past in camping that told me this, and I've never forgotten it. And she said to me, she said, no one should ever care as much about your ministry and your career as you do. And I thought, man, that's powerful. And so when we're looking at these lingering leadership models, we're talking about how we lead and what is left behind when we lead, not just when we're gone, but while we're still there, we're leading leaving a legacy of leadership and directorship and models for people to follow. And you've listed out some phenomenal things, and I found myself checking off these little boxes here, just saying, "Oh yeah, I see myself here, I see myself there." But let's talk to us a little bit about this lingering leadership model.
Yeah, sure. And to begin with, you know, there's really not much that you and I are going to be able to create that hasn't already been written about a million different times around the idea of leadership. But there are ways that we can bring that material to others and maybe more importantly to ourselves in a way that it's memorable, that it's relevant, that it's practical. And so I came up with this idea of what lingers around. Yes, we can use that word legacy. I went with lingering leadership, because honestly, it's probably not permanent, but it will linger for a while. And, you know, the great news is that this is not the end for us. Whether we move on from a camp position, a camp ministry position, or whether the Lord calls us home, this is not the end for us. But we will leave behind a legacy. And in this case, today, we're talking about the leadership lessons, the lingering of our leadership that will stay behind in the culture of our ministries, in staff members and how they lead, and maybe in other areas of impact. So the model is really, it's really an assessment. It's really an evaluation. And again, one more great bit of news is that it's not too late. If we are evaluating ourselves, if we are investigating through questions, through evaluations of others, how we're leading, or perhaps where there's areas of strength and impact, and perhaps where there's areas of opportunity for growth, it's not too late to really lean into some of those areas that we want to reinforce and areas that we may want to improve on. So I would ask you this, and I asked some of the groups this that we met with at Acadian, you know, what do we consider qualities that we look for in what we would determine as successful leaders, or perhaps we might even say leaders that we admire? What are their qualities? What are they demonstrating? Do you have an answer for any of those? Do you want to contribute any idea to what determines a successful leader?
Yeah, when you brought that up at the SBCA conference, you know, I wrote down 10 things and then I kept writing because I don't think we can narrow it down to just, you know, one or two aspects. I mean, there's so many different facets that make a camp director or camp leader, a strong, successful leader in there. I mean, we talk about things like care and commitment and being approachable, and they practice what they preach and some of those things. And man, those are really, really good, but at any given moment, there's always something else thrown in that mix. And there probably are words that I'm just not aware of that better encapsulate a lot of these qualities, but man, that list continues to grow and grow and grow, and especially in changing times where we have, you know, different things being thrown at us that we've ever seen before. So, you know, I'm gonna lean on, you know, the integrity and the care and the people skills, that directors have, but I'm sure there's just a ton more.
There are, and you're right. I don't know that one characteristic necessarily is weighted higher than the other. To me, and I think to many, integrity is critical. Why is that? Well, we have an opportunity to see leaders fail at that specific characteristic many, many times. And so because the failures sometimes are so devastating, maybe even public, integrity is critical. But also, I think sometimes the leadership quality that we lean in on may depend on some of the people that we're actually blessed and privileged to lead. And so communication may be that, and, you know, empathy would be critical for many, many situations. So today, what we're talking about is just six, and there could be many, many more lessons of leadership. There could be many, many more characteristics of leadership that you focus on and that certainly will linger behind. Three of these we would label as positive. Three of these we would label as not so positive. But again, there are many others. The point here being, we will leave a legacy of leadership. We will leave leadership that lingers. And so being intentional about how we lead, prepping ourselves daily, giving our leadership over to the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to be in that, that's critical, and it's critical every day. It's critical to keep as paramount in how we prep for our day.
You know, when you're talking about that, you know, one of the things that I keep thinking of is, you know, as leaders, we definitely need to be teachable and trainable and coachable. We need to be malleable in some regard in that way. That's kind of what you guys do at Four Camps, right? You do executive coaching there. Before we get into the content here, tell us a little bit about what is executive coaching, and how is that beneficial to camp directors, especially in regards to what they're doing that creates a lingering leadership?
Sure. So yes, I have a partner, and together we run an organization, fourcamps.org. And our goal ultimately, all the way down at the end of the line, our goal is to help Christian camp ministries be more impactful, more effective in their faith formation efforts. So that would be what you and I often call evangelism and discipleship, but really helping people understand the wonderful aspects of entering into a faith in Christ. So that's the beginning, the evangelism, but also the critical importance of knowing why we believe what we believe, as we see over and over again, very publicly sometimes, people walking away from the faith, and that happens. How can we help believers deepen their faith, understand truly what it looks like to live out that faith in day-to-day life, whether these individuals are in ministry or not? You know, we get to serve so many different people through camp ministry, and not all of them are clergy, not all of them are on the mission field. We have a great opportunity, and so with this company, Jeff, that is our goal. That is our focus. That is our why. It's our passion. Evangelism and discipleship, faith formation, doing that effectively and with great impact. The way we do that is through executive coaching. And executive coaching is a inquiry-based approach to helping find solutions to some of the challenges that camp leaders might be facing. So, whereas we would look at consulting as coming in, identifying a problem, or perhaps the challenge is already identified, and really sort of delivering a solution to that. Executive coaching is different in that we want to journey with the camp leader or leadership. So that could be the executive director solely. It could be the exec and the board. It could be the exec and their leadership team. But we want to work with either that individual or that group of leaders, shoulder to shoulder, sort of navigating not just one challenge, but oftentimes many challenges, to get them from where they are now to where they want to be. So goal setting. And we have a system of doing that. It really just starts with identity within the individual, identity of the ministry, areas of alignment, and really the vision that God has placed on that leadership for the future impact of the ministry. So executive coaching journeys together through that entire process, sometimes perhaps as long as a year, maybe more, as we look to identify those challenges. Let me say that a little differently. Identify the root causes of those challenges and then work together. Not for us to tell others what to do, but to work together to find solutions through this inquiry-based process. Jeff, I'm convinced that the people who know the need the most in their camp ministry, the people who really have all of the components of the solution to those challenges, are in fact the people that work at the camp ministry. They're the people in the trenches. They understand all of the nuances of what goes on. And so we feel that it's better to do this work together with the leadership as opposed to using our experience to simply deliver a solution and wish them well upon the delivery of that. We want to be in the trenches. We want to be on this journey with Christian camp leaders. So that's what we do. It's what we're excited about. And again, our ultimate goal is to see great impact in faith formation.
That's awesome. And, you know, I've always heard, and to use a cliche, the speed of the leader is the speed of the team. And so working with that leadership, getting down in the trenches with them, understanding where they are, what a valuable tool and resource that can be. Because often we get myopic on the things that we see at our camps. We think we know what's going on. But when we're asked those probing questions, we're forced to face the things that we've kind of turned a blind eye to for so many years. It really opens up that opportunity for ministry. And I think that what you guys are doing is phenomenal. So I'm really excited to see more of that and to see what you guys are doing there and continuing on. And I think that speaks directly to what we're covering today with this lingering leadership. I mean, we're talking about leaders who may go about their day and go about what they know to do because, you know, this is a model that they've seen, or this is the way that they've kind of understood that leadership needs to be. And then we end up with, you know, a combination of one or two or more of these key leadership qualities. So let's talk a little bit about those.
Yeah, sure. So we have six leaders that I'd like to introduce you to today. And first, meet Director Ego. Director Ego could only see themselves as the central character in the story of the ministry they led. They demanded complete loyalty from their employees. Loyalty to them, not to the ministry or the mission. They surrounded themselves with only staff who they were comfortable with, and staff who would not challenge their decisions. All success was celebrated as a result of Director Ego's skilled leadership. Failure was always a result of someone else, a church leader, a camper parent, or maybe even the government agency that was delivering a requirement. Director Ego's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture that focuses on the leader rather than the mission. In the leadership styles of the staff who demand that subordinates follow them with complete loyalty. And unfortunately, in the stunted growth of the ministry as a result of inaccurate evaluation. Next, let me introduce you to Director Sho. Director Sho loved people. They loved giving tours of the camp and sharing about the vision for the future of the ministry. They loved onboarding new staff and inviting them to share in the ministry's mission. They couldn't wait for the next board meeting to show all the progress being made and goals accomplished. And they loved to bring staff members to those board meetings to show the board who was responsible for a specific accomplishment. Director Sho knew that the accomplishments of the ministry were only a result of the team's efforts. Sure, Director Sho did cast the vision, set agendas, arrange staff, and ensure that needs were met. But the team as a whole made things work together. Director Sho never lost sight of that. Director Sho's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture that sees individual roles as part of something bigger than an individual. In leadership styles that recognize the value in the collective team and in individual team members. And in the growth of the ministry as a result of inviting people to hear, tell, and join in the exciting story of the camp ministry. After Director Sho, I want to introduce you to Director No, and that's N-O. Director No, N-O, was very proud of their position. The day they were hired, they assumed responsibility for the health and safety of the ministry. Nothing bad was going to happen on their watch. Director No had very competent staff and a creative, passionate leadership team. There was no shortage of ideas or willingness to attempt them. Director No couldn't say yes, though. They only saw the risk in any idea. Things should stay as they always have, which was predictable, with years and years of history to make those predictable ways safe. Director No knew how to handle the known. Director No didn't know how to manage the unknown. Eventually, the talented staff left for ministries with more opportunities for growth and creativity. The camp ministry is much the same today as it was decades ago. Except the staff culture is dull, and the program numbers decline a little every year. Staff no longer share or even think of ideas because they know that the answer will be no. Director No's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture that is frankly boring. In leadership styles of staff who are frightened of taking risks and making mistakes, quote, on their watch, end quote. And in the stagnant ministry that rarely reaches capacity in its programs and often sits empty on prime retreat weekends. So that was Director No, N-O. Now I'd like to introduce you to Director No, K-N-O-W. Director No, K-N-O-W, went to camp the summer that they turned 10 years old. A few memories of that experience remain. They gave their life to Christ in college at a retreat hosted by a camp. Director No was working in management and active as a deacon in their church when they learned of an open position to lead a camp ministry. Director No felt God's call to the position, but had lots of insecurities about being able to manage the ministry well. Upon becoming the camp director, Director No set out to learn everything they could about effective management in camp ministry. They read books, connected with other camp managers, attended trainings, and leaned into evaluations and feedback. Director No was eager to learn what they did not know. Director No shared the knowledge they learned. Staff were invited to attend trainings. Evaluations and feedback were carefully and respectfully considered. And staff development days found a place on the calendar multiple times each year. Director No's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture that is eager to learn what they do not know. In leadership styles of staff who are passionate about sharing what they know or are learning. And in ministry growth, as a result of willingness to ask questions, to seek information, and to try things while learning along the way. Next up, I'd like to introduce you to Director Where'd They Go? Director Where'd They Go liked their position. In fact, they couldn't imagine doing anything else. The main problem was the reason they liked it. Director Where'd They Go's position came with little accountability. Office hours became fewer and fewer each year. Director Where'd They Go would defend this internally as, you know, this is just camp life. They worked countless hours in the summer. They never took off Memorial Day, July 4th, or Labor Day, ever. They deserved a flexible schedule. Plus, they didn't need to be in the office because somebody could just call them if there was a need. Director Where'd They Go loved the freedom of the non-summer months, and they soon began to dread the pace of the summer. Eventually, other staff followed Director Where'd They Go's lead. Over time, it became difficult to understand when the office was staff or who was even around to make decisions in unexpected circumstances. The phone went unanswered. Bills were often delinquent, and attendance at programs and retreats declined. Director Where'd They Go's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture where vacant desks and missed calls are the norm. And in the leadership styles of staff who see ministry as working for them as opposed to the other way around. And unfortunately, in ministry decline, due to a potential camper or a retreat group being seen as an inconvenience rather than a ministry opportunity. Finally, I want to introduce you to Director Flo. Director Flo placed clear communication as a top priority. They had experienced the negative effects of poor organizational communication. Now they had the opportunity to lead an organization, and they wanted to ensure that clear communication was the standard, internally for staff and vendors, and externally for camper families, retreat group leaders, and other constituents. Each week began with a Monday meetup to discuss the previous week, to prep for the week ahead, and to share important items of note, and maybe most importantly, to invite the Holy Spirit into their work. Director Flo invested in tech communication systems to ensure an easy flow of messaging for the entire team and for other individuals. Communication between retreat group leaders and camper parents was excellent. Convenience and assistance drove this excellence. All forms were available to be completed online. The staff tested these forms for areas of improvement. A reservation system reminded camper families and church leaders as deadlines approached, and even listed the amount of time needed to complete the form. Director Flo saw the provision, accountability, and possession of information as key to the health of the camp ministry. Director Flo's lingering leadership lives on in a ministry culture that places priority on communication systems and communication flow, in the leadership styles of staff who routinely seek ways to improve internal and external communications, and in ministry health due to clear communication between staff and between the ministry and camper families or retreat guests. So, Jeff, as we look back on these six directors that we've met, you know, it's not that these qualities were all that the directors were known for, certainly not to everyone that they worked with or came in contact with. What's important to note is that these were the primary leadership qualities that lingered behind after their departure. So I think this is important in that we can ask ourselves, what leadership will linger behind in our ministry health, in the staff members that we have the privilege of teaching and training, and in our ministry culture? So that's why I created those. They're really prompts for us to ask some good questions, for us to evaluate ourselves about our leadership and what we'll stay behind once we're gone.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things as you were introducing us to some of these directors, I kind of took down some notes here, and the words that I heard that kept coming up were culture and communication and growth and those types of things. You know, as leaders in the camp and conference center world, those are words that we need to become extremely familiar with. Even when you're a camp of just a couple of people, it's still very important to create a culture and to facilitate growth, because our ministry is not just to those who are coming to our programs, but it's also to those who we are in charge of leading as well. And so I think that that's extremely, extremely important. What would you say would be some of the things to look out for specifically for camp directors as they're self-evaluating? What are some questions that they should be asking themselves?
Sure. And so really to the first part of that question, Jeff, you know, at camp on a ropes course, right? So some might say on a high ropes course or a challenge course, right? We have to check those knots repeatedly. Mm-hmm. We have to train annually, maybe multiple times a year. We bring in people that have nothing to do with us. There's a complete neutrality from our ministry, so that they are looking at things like the rust on cables, or the tightness of the bolts, or the health of whatever, trees or poles. There can be no room for error there, right? I mean, it's critical. And maybe not in exactly the same way, but in a similar way, we have an incredible privilege to lead and serve people. And so my mentality is that our margin for error should be pretty much the same as tying those knots on the ropes course. So to the first part of that question, we cannot get complacent. We can't put the day on autopilot. Now, of course, Jeff, this is easier said than done. I mean, I get it. But if there is some motivator, some reminder that we can have written on our coffee mug or perhaps written in a plaque above the door as we walk into our office, we must come prepared. We must come prepared to lead with integrity, with empathy, and all of the other things that we've talked about. We can't ever lose sight of the incredible privilege, but also the incredible responsibility of leadership, especially in Christian ministry. And so I've talked a little bit much, and I lost the second part of the question.
That's quite okay. That's perfectly okay. So the second part of that question is, what, if any, are some questions that leaders should be asking themselves to be that self-check? We talked about, you know, we have those people that come in and do those things, but as a leader, sometimes we think, okay, well, we're the ones that are supposed to keep things going. But if I'm self-evaluating and I'm looking at this list, you know, how do I what questions do I ask to myself to say, yeah, I'm veering into this director ego or this director NO area? Where do I need to self-correct?
Sure. And so I think there's two things that directors, that leaders can do. First of all, ask yourself, well, where am I succeeding? But I think we need some frame of reference. So again, there's no shortage of material written about leadership. So we can look at things like StrengthsFinder, and all types of other material out there. But Let's look at just sort of a exhaustive list of leadership qualities. And I think at some point we might narrow those down to what would be considered our core leadership qualities. You know, the ones where not necessarily we put the most value on, but our job, our culture requires the most value, right? So, We've all met directors who are incredible leaders. Empathy just may not be their thing, you know. It's sort of put some dirt on it and move on, you know. And right. You know, there's fewer and fewer of those leaders out there. But that, I mean, these are not bad people, but they might have to make empathy a core leadership value because of the culture of the ministry that they're leading. So I think it's great to ask ourselves as we look at that list, well, what areas of leadership am I succeeding in? I mean, which ones do I really know? You know what? I am doing well there. And of course, the flip side of that question, you know, what areas of leadership do I see that I'm just not super confident in? I'm not hitting home runs on a daily basis. And when we see that, well, really for both questions, when we see success, what is leading to that success? Let's sort of know the what behind the why, or the why behind the what. And then similarly, what is hindering progress in those areas where I am struggling with leadership? I think furthermore, we need to ask those same questions about the staff that we are training. What qualities are we intentionally passing along in leadership to our team members? And why is that? And how do we approach that? Why are those important? Why are those critical to the ministry need? So those are some questions that I would ask. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, it reminded me of a quote that I had heard from someone that says, think about what it is that you want to have accomplished and then look back and say, how do I get there from here? And man, if I'm looking at my leadership, if others are looking at their leadership and they're saying, you know what, at the end of my ministry time or whenever God calls me home, I want these things to have been said of the leadership legacy that I've left behind. And they're not that selfish, but it's those things of, you know, I want it to be, you know, God has worked through this ministry. He sought the Lord. He communicated. He did whatever those things are. How do I get to that point from where I am now? And I think that's valuable when we're looking at self-evaluation. We have to be honest with ourselves. And it comes back to the integrity that you talked about earlier, is we have to have that integrity of being able to say, I'm not everything that I think or that should be. I'm not everything that, whether I think it or not, I'm not everything that should be as a director. Where can I grow? Where can I continue to move forward? And that's where a ministry such as 4camps.org is such a valuable resource for all of us, partnering with the camps and the SBCA, rubbing shoulders with the other camp directors and other camp leaders and other staff people in positions in camps that have the same heart and same focus and same direction as you do. It's so valuable. It's so valuable to have these resources available to us. And I am so thankful to be a part of an organization where we can do that. It's not a competition out there. We're out there for each other because we're all out there for the Lord. And so that's a great position to be in.
Well, it is.
Jeremy, I am so excited about what you have shared with us today. Is there anything that you would like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think what can motivate you daily to keep your perspective in a healthy place, knowing that there will, just like you just said, there will come that day where you lock your office door for the last time. So can the vision of what you want to leave behind motivate you today? Can a memory of a leader in your life, and look, Jeff, that can be a positive memory or it could be a not so positive memory, but can a memory of a leader in your life and how they impacted you and how their leadership lingered amongst your camp culture, amongst you as a leader? Can that motivate you? Let us always, what is it? The seven habits of highly effective people, right? Begin with the end in mind. Let's begin each day with the end in mind and commit ourselves to honoring the Lord to the best of our abilities in our leadership for that day. When that happens, I think our focus and our perspective puts the ministry first, and everything else sort of falls in line behind that. And ultimately, Jeff, I think that that leads to healthy leaders, which leads to healthy teams, which leads to healthy ministries. And again, what I get excited about, which leads to ministry impact, faith formation. And I love that.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Jeremy, what a blessing it is to have the opportunity to talk with you and to have you as a part of this podcast and to be able to share this. I want to have you back on. There's so much more that we can jump into. But people are only going to listen for so long. So, so we want to encapsulate that, and we want to bring you back on. But thank you so very much. So tell us how people can get in touch with you for if they want to get some information about how forcamps.org can help them in their ministry, help them ask these kinds of questions. Where can they get that information?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So email is great. Info@forcamps.org. You can also call 877-4-CAMPS, which is 877-742-2677. 877-4-CAMPS. And Jeff, I'll just say that I know that consulting, coaching, the expense associated with that sometimes seems like something that's not necessary. And we understand that the leaders that we're going to work with need to sort of check two boxes. They need to be willing and they need to be able. And some are willing, they're just not able at that time. And the reverse is true. What I would say is that I think that we can bring two critical factors into this journey alongside of Christian camp leaders. One is experience. I've had the opportunity to work at Camp Piankatank in Virginia, at Caraway in North Carolina, with 3CA here in Colorado. And so I have quite a bit of experience in different corners of the camp world. My business partner, Chuck, has had similar excellent experience. So there is an experience there that we bring in understanding what Christian camp leaders are going through, because both Chuck and I have been there. We also, and this, I think sometimes this is critical, we bring a neutrality. We're not on the board. We're not members of the church that is the noisiest, maybe supporter or critic of the camp. And we're not right on the staff. So there is an experience and understanding, but also a neutrality that we bring. And again, all for ministry impact. That is our why. And so if we can work with some folks, we would love to do that. So thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to be on today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was my pleasure, my joy to have you on. And I know that the directors and the staff members who listen to this are going to just, they're going to get just as much out of it as I got out of it. Again, yet it's still taking notes and some, you know, even from having been in that at the SBCA conference, it's something that we're probably going to be listening to over and over again to continue to get that valuable information. And again, just to reiterate, that's 877-74-CAMPS, 2677, right?
That's right. Yes, 877-7, the number 4, CAMPS, and that's 877-742-2677.
Awesome. So, Jeremy, thank you so much, man. You are a great and wonderful guest. I can't wait to have you back on again another time.
Wonderful.
And we will see you again very, very soon.
Thank you so much.
And And that was our interview with Jeremy Jackson with forcamps.org. That's forcamps.org. Be sure to go by and check them out. Send them an email and let them know that you heard them on the podcast. It'll be great encouragement to them. Also, I want you to check out our sbcamping.org. That's our SBCA website. If you haven't been there, you're missing out. Go by there and check. You can get information on our upcoming events. There are going to be more content going to be posted there soon, along with updates on the podcast as well. Check out our SBCA Facebook group. It's a great place for you to connect with our SBCA camp family. And then check out our next episode coming up in a couple of weeks. This has been Jeff with the SBCA podcast, praying all the best for you, your camps, and your staff as you seek to give Him glory in all that you do. See you next time. The SBCA podcast is a production of the Southern Baptist Camping Association. Our theme song, First Day at Camp, written, produced, and performed by Caleb Gilbert.